Hi, thanks for listening to one of our Sunday talks from the Center for Spiritual Living in Midtown Atlanta. If this is your first time listening to one of our talks, we certainly hope you enjoy it. But if you're a regular listener to our podcast, we would like you to consider contributing to our center. It's easy to do. All you have to do is go on our website, and it's easy to find the button and make a contribution. That will allow us to continue bringing these talks to you on a regular basis in the future. Once again, thanks for listening.
I believe the main reason this election was so difficult to watch, I don't mean Tuesday, I mean the whole thing, was because of the way that both sides tried to separate and dehumanize the other side, especially as it went on in the last month or so. And I'm real clear that that goes against our spiritual belief that there's only one power and we are all it. Quite simply, that's what we say. However, even though we believe here that we are all connected, not just us in this room, every person everywhere on the planet, even though we believe that we're all connected at the spiritual level, and even though we know that there's only one God and that we're all part of it, these are things we say every week, we still tend to think of ourselves as ourselves. I think of me as me, you think of you as you. Oh, sometimes we talk about being a we or an us with people who are a lot like us, of course. That's the only ones we do that with. But most of the time, we're pretty comfortable in what we consider to be our own individual, personal, self-constructed, well-defined, personal identity. I mean, after all, this has been me for 66 years. I've gotten pretty used to it. So that's how I think of myself. I have a body that's mine. I have a name that's mine. I have a social security number that's mine. I have a personal password for all my accounts that nobody knows except me and my wife and some hackers in Russia, probably. I have my own thoughts and my own feelings. I make my own choices, the election or anything else. I have a unique past, present, and future. Every one of us has this. So spiritually, I may believe and say up here that I am an individual expression of God, but the emphasis is usually on the word individual. Okay, that's the way a lot of us think. Now, some of us carry this individuality thing further than others. Some people like to be seen as rugged individualists, completely self-sufficient, even to the level of withdrawing from society, while other people work very closely with their own individual communities, with their family, their church, their neighborhood, their political party, their tribe, whatever it happens to be. Now, neither of these approaches is right or wrong or better or worse with this caveat. As long as it doesn't cause us to feel disconnected from the one source of all life that we all come from. That's the caveat, because it's that feeling of disconnection or separation, this fear of people who are not like us, that lies at the root of a lot of the problems that we have been seeing over the last year or so, both emotionally and politically, but also spiritually. So here's the question that I want to address this morning. How can each of us still maintain our individuality while still feeling interconnected with everyone everywhere? That's kind of the question. How can we embrace our common humanity and our common spirituality with the world and with the people around us without getting absorbed, overwhelmed, or consumed by all the problems and the details of the world? Or as the master teacher Jesus once put it so well, how can we be in the world but not of it? It was a great question, and that's what we all want to know. Now, the short answer during this time of transition in the country is, it is all about balance and awareness. That's what we have to practice. Now, the balance part is something that we all struggle with. How do I balance work and play? How do I balance family time with personal time? How do I balance community service with doing my own thing or getting some time off? And I think most of us go back and forth on this on a daily basis. Sometimes we're in balance, sometimes we're out. And I'd like to be able to give you an easy formula for how to get all this taken care of, for finding that balance, but there isn't one. There isn't an easy formula. I mean, for one thing, in spite of our best efforts and intentions, life frequently gets in the way. Things like what went on this week, but also mostly little events, little things get in the way. For example, I may need some time off or a vacation and have one all scheduled and already everything set up, but then a big project comes up at work and I have to cancel it. Or maybe someone in my family gets sick or they need help of some sort. And even though I'm short of time and maybe short of money, whatever it happens to be, even though I'm tired, they need my help, so I cancel my stuff, my vacation, to give them what they need. Or maybe I want to sleep in on Saturday. I just need a week off. I've been working so hard, but I made a commitment to my neighbors to help clean up the neighborhood park. So Saturday morning at 7 o'clock, I'm out the door in my jeans and sweatshirt and going to help out. Now, all of these things are perfectly justifiable reasons for not taking care of ourselves the way we know we should. And being responsible adults, as I'm sure most of you are, most of us just suck it up and do what needs to be done. We never complain out loud, but something about it feels off. Something about it doesn't feel quite right. The problem is, for a lot of us anyway, the demands upon us never seem to stop. Anybody notice that besides me? They never seem to stop. There's always one more thing that keeps us from going on vacation or going to do, getting some rest or getting away from the noise. We find ourselves continually reacting to all the chaos Doug was referring to going on in the world. And this is where awareness comes in. Remember I said balance and awareness? This is where awareness is important, okay? And the awareness I'm talking about is not external awareness of what's going on. I'm talking about the awareness of where we need to draw the line between what's happening in here and what's happening out there. And I use the term we as in we need to draw the line, because if we don't draw the line in our life, somebody else will. I guarantee. All right, your family, the media, your fears, whatever it happens to be. So what I want to talk about this morning are the borders and the boundaries in our lives. I love these words. I want to talk about what they are. I want to talk about where they are. I want to talk about where they come from and what we can do to not only put the borders and boundaries in our life where we want them, but to also make it clear to everyone else in our life where they are. Where they are. First of all, let's see if this topic even applies to you. I already know the answer for me. Let me ask a few general questions, okay? And let's just see where we are. If the answer to some of them or a number of them is yes, then you can decide if you want to go to brunch or stay for the rest of the talk. Fair enough? Okay. Number one, do you ever have trouble making a decision between what you would like to do and what someone else wants you to do? Okay? Including your mother, your spouse, your girlfriend, your boyfriend, or your boss. Okay? Don't raise your hand. Don't nod your head. I don't need to know. You just listen to yourself. Do you ever have difficulty saying no? Do you ever find yourself getting involved with people who either aren't good for you or who don't support you, and you can't seem to get uninvolved? I heard a ooh there, okay? Number four, do you ever give all your attention to someone else when you're the one who needs some attention? Okay. Five, do you ever give other people's opinions more weight than yours? Six, I've only got seven of them. Six, do you ever have difficulty asking for what you want or need? And seven, do you ever feel responsible for other people's feelings? All right. How many people answered yes at least once? Twice? Three? Four? Not many going down. Five, six. Okay, good. I think all of us are occasionally susceptible to these kind of things because we are all basically nice people. And we got people in our lives that we love and care for, which is wonderful. It really, really is. We like to get along with other people. We like things to be calm and peaceful. We like to be helpful. And we love to be liked. We just do. Besides, the conventional thinking goes, this is the voice in our head, we don't have to have our way all the time, do we? I mean, you know, what makes us think that our opinion is so important or our wants anyway? Sound familiar? Sort of that little voice in the back of the head? You know, I'm one of the first people in the world to say that it is nice to be nice. But I also realize that I have frequently crossed over the line from being nice to being codependent. get a little psychological here. And because most people who are on this kind of an open-minded spiritual path have either spent years in therapy or at least watched Oprah enough to be extremely familiar with the term codependence, all right, I'm not going to go in that direction this morning. Okay, that's not what we're going to talk about, but it obviously does have a lot to do with what I'm talking about here. You see, the purpose of having healthy boundaries is not to build a wall around us because we're selfish. It's to take care of ourselves. It is to honor ourselves. It is to put our oxygen mask on first before we help others, okay, as an airline metaphor. It's to create a nice, safe, healthy, fun place for us to live, work, and play without being involuntarily or unnecessarily sucked into the problems or the affairs of other people who should be taking better care of themselves. That's what boundaries are. Because even though it isn't usually socially acceptable to say, which hasn't stopped me in a while, we all have the right to do the things that we love, to express our feelings, to create our own life, and to follow our own spiritual path without anyone else's direction or interference, as long as we respect others while we're doing it. Okay? In other words, in this teaching, martyrdom is not a virtue. It is not a virtue. And I was raised Catholic. I know martyrdom. Okay? My mom listens to these talks. I love this. Our spiritual birthright, which means simply our right to express life in our own way because we are here. Our spiritual birthright gives us permission to live in a much larger space than the world and some of the people in it want to give us. Our spiritual birthright gives us this entire freedom to do all these things. But if we want to change the way we've been doing it, only we can do it. And the only way we can do it is consciously and deliberately, because it does not happen by accident. So first, let me talk about the similarities and the differences between the borders and boundaries. Now, they do have some similarities, of course. For example, borders and boundaries are both artificial lines drawn to define things as being on one side or another. We got a lot of that one side or another stuff going on right now. And I want to emphasize when I said that they are artificial lines, because to some people, they don't seem artificial at all. They feel like they are firm boundaries that seem very real. But a border or a boundary, whether it's in our life or in the world, is simply an agreement between two or more people, and it may be an unconscious agreement, that there's a difference between being on this side or the other. Or as we usually put it, my side or wrong. Okay, that's the way we put it. All right. Now, sometimes it's a big difference between us, all right? Sometimes it's a very small or very subtle difference. But unless the line is very, very clear, confusion arises because people can't honor a line unless they can see it. Unless they can see it. Here's a cute story. It happened to me a number of years ago. Judy, it was with you, a dear friend of mine for many years who was working with the DeKalb school system. And Judy invited me, had to be 20 years ago, to participate in their school's career day. DeKalb County, at one of the schools she was working with. So I went as an airline pilot, which I used to be. Most of you know that. Some of you don't. In my full uniform, including the hat, which makes you about, you know, this tall. And I was talking to a class of second graders, I think, and I have to say they were very impressed. You know, very impressed. Anyway, after I made my little presentation, I pulled down the map they used to study geography, one of the maps, and it was an old school, not very well kept, unfortunately, but it was one of those maps that most of us remember from elementary school, and I made a little presentation about all the states we have to fly over when I go from Atlanta to Los Angeles. That was just sort of the one that I picked. And when I finished, one very serious little boy raised his hand, and he said, "Can you see the lines between the states from the air?" And another little girl said, "Yeah, and are the states different colors?" You know the map? You picture it in your mind, okay? And that's when I realized that all these children had been taught geography just like you and I were, from a map that showed lines where no lines, get this, no lines really existed, right? So the lines were not part of the country. They were just part of what they believed and what they were being taught. Artificial lines. Now, that may seem like a cute little story. The innocence of children. But in the same way, we have created lines, we, all of society, all the world, have created lines that separate people, countries, currencies, religions, and political systems based purely on our beliefs. Based purely on our beliefs. And we call these lines borders, in effect. And even though we may or not like the way they separate human beings into groups, they're still pretty well defined, and we give them a lot of power. Now, this way of thinking goes back thousands of years to the Great Wall of China, for example, and to the wall the Israelis are building. I've seen it in Jerusalem and across in Israel between them and the Palestinians, and even the fence that somebody wants to build with Mexico, okay? As a general rule, borders are designed to keep other people out. But they may also keep out things like ideas, opportunities, and change. Now, boundaries, on the other hand, are designed to keep people in, okay? Boundaries set the limit to how far we can expand. Now, geographically, we may have boundaries, natural boundaries, like rivers and mountain ranges or oceans or whatever it is. And politically, we may have boundaries. Somebody else's border may become our boundary that we can't go across. But we can also be stopped by boundaries that we have created in our mind with our beliefs. In fact, in our mind is where the most powerful boundaries in our life exist. There's a story, it's kind of a parable, came from one of the early New Thought books in the late 1800s, early 1900s. I think it was Emmett Fox, if you've heard of him. And he talked about a man in a country who was on his farm, and the soldiers came and grabbed him. The king had sent for him and had him thrown into prison. And he had no idea why he was there. So there he was in this prison cell, a dungeon cell, and he was in there for years. Once a day, invisible hands pushed food through a tray with a tray under the door. And one day, he got so frustrated that he got up and kicked the door, and the door opened. Some of you have heard this story before. So he pushed it open. Nobody was there. And he walked out up the stairs, and he walked past the guards who were chatting and didn't even look at him, and he went home. End of story. Now, the question is, was he locked in prison all those years by the door, which wasn't actually locked, or by his belief that the door was locked? Okay? And the answer, obviously, is what? By his belief. All right? So he stayed inside a boundary that he believed existed, even though it didn't exist at all. Now, was it a real boundary? Well, to him it was. Right? Which is all that mattered. So boundaries are really nothing more than a barrier that we allow ourselves to believe in and accept. So what we need to look at is how these two things relate to our everyday life and experience, borders and boundaries. So let's talk about borders first. In our life, there are basically two kinds of borders. There are the ones we set up to keep the world and other people out, and there are ones that we allow other people set up to keep us out. So let me talk about the first one first. If someone decides to set up a border, not just a physical border, but an emotional border or some sort of a border to keep us out of their life or keep us at a distance, that is their choice. And if it's somebody we don't deal with much, then that's easy. You know, if they can't appreciate how wonderful we are, the hell with them. I'll just stay out here and be perfectly happy. All right? The problem comes when someone close to us or someone we care about or need to interact with on a regular basis decides to shut us out. If our father won't speak to us because of our lifestyle, that's a border that he puts up. If our boss won't communicate with us because he doesn't like us for some reason or like our ideas, all right? And if that's the case, we can't just walk away because these are people that are important in our life. So the first thing we need to do is to, and we have to do it in consciousness, it's the only place to be done, is not to let their opinion of us define us or them. Second part's harder than first, I'm here to tell you. That's where our spiritual growth comes in to help us out. You see, when we respond, and this is relevant to today, when we respond in a non-spiritual way to someone else's non-spiritual behavior, nothing good ever happens. Nothing good happens. Remember that saying? I know some of you do. When the blind leads the blind, they both wind up in the ditch. That's what they're talking about. That's what they're talking about. If we convey to every person that we interact with an attitude of loving kindness, which is a term the Dalai Lama uses a lot, I love it, we can create a space for them to change their beliefs if they decide to do so. Now, we can't force them to change their beliefs. We can't force them to open their border. But if we can pattern for them, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually, a better point of view from a purely spiritual perspective, or as close to spiritual purity as we can get, then we're going to come out better. But we can only do this by not setting up borders of our own. Remember, borders are to keep other people out. We can only do this by not setting up borders of our own. You see, the only reason we ever set up borders is because we're afraid. That's the only reason anybody ever sets up a border. It's like, you know, trying to protect your country, protect all these other things. Only in our case, as individuals, it is our ego that wants to protect itself from other people or from other ideas that we feel are a threat to our individuality. That's why if we can muster the courage in the face of any chaos that we happen to see or whatever anybody else thinks of us, to stand openly in front of them, totally vulnerable, with a polite smile on our face, displaying our considerable charm, intelligence, and sense of humor, of which we all have a lot, not only will they have a chance to see who we really are, we'll be able to see them better too. Because we're not standing behind a wall. We're not standing behind a wall made of our own fears about them. And as we begin to see each other more clearly, our relationship can heal. That's what the word heal means, to come together. I have seen this happen time and time again between families, between friends, in marriages where no one believed it was possible. But to God, which means the Spirit of life in us, all things are possible, even the healing of the divide that faces our country today. But what about boundaries? That's a little bit different because boundaries do have a definite purpose. Remember earlier when I said boundaries set the limit to how far we can go? Well, they also set the limit to how far in a certain direction we are willing to go. And that's where we need to focus our attention. As intelligent and loving and creative spiritual beings, which we are, with the power to think and the power to choose, we can accomplish amazing things. We really can. Every person in this room, we can create all kinds of wonderful relationships. We can create a business or a career. We can heal anything. We can play in 1,000 different ways. We can travel. We can help people with our time, our money, and our energy. We can join organizations that make a difference in the world. We can volunteer here at our center at a hospice. You can volunteer to help kids read. We can do all these things and much, much more, but we can't do them all at the same time. We can't do them all at the same time. So it's important that in between doing all of these things, that we leave time for ourselves to regenerate. To regenerate so we can recharge our batteries, so we can get back in touch with our spiritual center. Because that's the true source of our strength. Now that's just a nice thing to do. It's something we have to do. We have to put it in our spiritual work because if we don't, we're going to drain our energy and we're not going to be able to help anyone else. I mean, I believe some of us, I'll say us, and you know who you are, I know I am, we have a lethal combination of personality traits. I'm talking to you, okay? We are competent, we are caring, and we are high control. Okay? That's why automatically, without even thinking about what it might be doing us, we take personal responsibility for other people's feelings. That's the caring part. We take responsibility for their problems and for their obligations. That's a competency part. I can solve all that. And we take responsibility for them. That's the high control part. That's what gets us in trouble. So they contribute the drama and the helplessness and the tears of gratitude and the lack of responsibility. We contribute the money, the time, and the energy, and the resentment. And the resentment. And I can tell you from personal experience, that is a lousy trade-off. It really, really is. It doesn't help us, and long-term, it won't help them either. Now, how do we deal with this? You know, how do we keep healthy boundaries? Well, first of all, we need to spend some quality time with ourselves and on a regular basis think about what we really love to do in our life and allow ourselves to do it. All right? Because a lot of us don't know what we really love. We allow other people to dictate the terms of our life. Okay? For example, quick example, I mentioned this last week. I love to take afternoon naps during the week. I have for years. But for a long time, I felt guilty taking a nap while everybody else was working, even though sometimes I had to work at night when they were off. So once I got clear about this, I started putting my nap on my schedule. And where before I would have gone, well, this person can only meet that time of that day, I'll just move my nap or I'll cancel it, all the other stuff, it is rock solid on the schedule. Okay? I can meet them before, I can meet them after. When I take my nap, I dedicate myself. I turn off the phone, except for the alarm, okay? I don't cut it short for anything. It is a luxury that I give myself. It's a boundary that I set that allows me to be better at the other things that I do. So it serves a purpose. So one of my recommendations is, if you set a boundary, stick to it. Because if they're important enough for you to make them in the first place, then don't compromise them. All right? Next, be clear about how you're going to handle it if somebody tries to violate your boundaries, because I promise you, they will, okay? If somebody tries to violate your boundaries, you don't need to strike out, you don't need to get angry, you don't need to get upset, you just need to stay very clear in your mind what you want and what you don't want, and be very clear with them as well. Because how can the people in our life know what our boundaries are until we teach them? So the people in our life need to be trained. Okay? Now, I made the decision long ago, I would rather be the trainer instead of the trainee. It's a lot better job. Okay? I would be a nice trainer. I would be firm and consistent and very, very clear. For example, I have trained all the important people in my life, with the exception of my wife, who has me trained, at any rate, to know that I love them, even if they ask me to do something and I say no. It's not an easy thing to do, you know? Because saying no is not necessarily rude. Sometimes it's the best thing you can do. Mahatma Gandhi said, and he was one of the kindest, most compassionate people who ever lived, he said, a no uttered from deepest conviction is better and greater than a yes muttered either to please or, what is worse, to avoid trouble. It's a great statement. It really is. So saying yes when we mean yes and no when we mean no allows us to maintain very clear and balanced boundaries. Now, some people are still going to test us, okay, but we got to get used to that and stand our ground. Finally, we can change our boundaries whenever we want. We can expand them. We can contract them. All right? The key is we decide. We don't change them out of obligation. We don't change them out of guilt. And we don't change them because of what other people think. We don't honor other people by giving up our boundaries to them. If you take a minute to notice, closing here, the universe itself has boundaries. Those boundaries are called laws. They're called laws. These laws don't care if we like them or not. They work the same for everybody. They are fixed and dependable. They apply to everyone. And the closer we work with these laws, the smoother things go. All right? There's a lesson in this. That is how I want the people in my life to see me, as a universal law in my life. but I know it won't happen unless I see myself that way first. So that is my intention from now on out. And I firmly believe that the universe supports me in this in the same way that it supports you. So as we move forward into all the stuff that's going on right now, stay centered, stay calm, focus on the Spirit within, because this is the truth in your life, and this is the truth in mine. And so it is. And so it is. Thank you. All right. Thank you. Let's take a moment. Relax. Take a breath. A lot of ideas here. A lot of things come up. Take the things that support you. I give them to you freely. Set aside the others for later. And let's know this. I know that life is a beautiful, wonderful, glorious experience. I'm grateful every morning to wake up and see the beautiful world around me, to feel my body, to allow any thought I want to flow through my mind, to have people in my life that I can hug, kiss, call, support, be supported by. All of these things are part of my life experience. And I create them. I attract the people who are in my life. If I feel angry inside, I will attract angry people. If I feel self-righteous inside, I will attract self-righteous people. If I am unkind, I will attract unkind people. So I choose consciously to focus in my mind on the reality of love and peace and kindness and joy and consideration and all those deeply spiritual values that I know make life a better experience for everyone involved. So as I begin to focus on those qualities, that also includes what I expose myself to. I am careful about what I watch, what I listen to, and what I say. I am very careful about what I believe. And as I focus all my energy on the good that can come out of every experience, I begin to see the good that is already emerging. It may be hard to see. I may have to stand at another angle to look at it. I may need to listen to other people who are not like me. But as I do this, I become part of the healing process. I am ready for this country to heal, for the world to heal, and for the life of every person on the planet to be whole. I see this as a possibility. I believe it. It is a gift we have all been given by the one power, the one life, the one mind that we call God. So I accept it in my life. I allow it to be free in the lives of all others. And I give thanks for all that I have been given, for all that I have yet to give. And knowing this is the truth, I accept it and release it into consciousness, letting it be so for me and every person from this moment on. Join me in saying, and so it is.